Sci-fi. Hey, everybody, welcome to Real Life Sci-Fi with Wade and Willie. I'm Wade.
I'm Willie.
This is Starburns Audio Produced Podcast that has been described. Here's a review. This podcast and the companion No Sci-Fi shows are as entertaining as watching a football team going into a stadium that's, say, a mile high and getting 8 sacks. I am a 2 on the WoW scale. That's Arrowhead Pride gaming the system. He's had a review. I think he just keeps updating his 5-star review.
I dig that. And I did, you know, the 8 sack game. Oh my God.
This is in reference to the Broncos losing to the Chiefs.
They gave us every chance. They gave us every chance to win that game and we couldn't do it.
If you have a 5-star review, leave it on iTunes or Apple Podcasts and we'll read it on the air. Subscribe to our Patreon. Just go to patreon.com/reallifesci-fi. Become a friend of Charlquan and you get access to 2 bonus episodes a week. And we'll give you a shout out on the show.
Thank you so much. Thank you for your patronage. Thank you for your review.
Thank them for listening. These people aren't paying. This is one.
Oh yeah.
What's up? How are you? Happy Monday.
It's Tuesday.
Isn't it Monday though? Isn't this Monday?
Oh
how
yeah.
How was your weekend?
Happy Monday.
What did you do this weekend?
I probably tried to sneak in some video games and didn't get any in.
Are you playing video games right now?
I've been Borderlands 3. You know, I played Borderlands 2 for like 5 years.
Jesus
I love
Christ.
It so much.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Let's welcome our guest to the SSRLSF. It's our good friend and Patreon himself,
It happens all the time.
Wait, now I've forgotten your name.
You can just call me Albert.
Albert Ehrenstein.
Aaron. God damn it. Aaron Albertstein. That's fucking horrifying.
That's all right.
Jesus Christ. My brain is fried. Thanks for being here, man.
Thanks.
Do you play video games?
I used to have a really bad video game addiction. So I haven't had a console for years because of that.
Really?
Yeah. I was addicted to the first game that I was really hooked on was Final Fantasy VII.
Oh fuck!
Oh,
rightly
so.
That's like the best video game ever, isn't it?
Yeah, and it gets you. You get hooked so hard.
That's the one with the giant sword, and his name's McCloud or something, right?
Just Cloud.
Just Cloud.
I have a couple ringtones as that, and when I hear that, I'm just like, fuck, dude, Chocobo Canyon. Mm-hmm. I need to get back in there.
Mm-hmm. And then it ended with. My addiction ended with first-person shooters.
Yeah.
A game called SOCOM.
Oh, yeah.
On PS2.
That was good.
Oh, that's... So you didn't even make it to, like, the Halo 3 days.
No, I dipped out after Halo 1.
Okay.
I loved Halo 1. I played Halo 2 and didn't... I thought it was fine, but I didn't feel like it was enough of an advancement past Halo 1. Because there was so much buildup for Halo 2, I was like, this is going to be awesome.
That's how all the Halos are.
They were already talking about Peter Jackson was going to be making a live-action movie.
Right. I didn't know anything about any of the Halo games until Halo 3, and I only got that because this was like the first generation where you could play online with people.
Yeah.
And so all my friends in color, I had moved out here, and so it's like 4 or 5 years after that. And I was like, oh, this is great. I'm like hanging out with my Colorado friends. So it was nice.
Yeah.
But I hate first person.
I hit
shooters.
That late, man. You got me into it. I didn't have an Xbox for so long.
Really?
Like, I guess I should get. I bought your old one and you bought a new one.
I really.
And that's when I got into it.
I really enjoy like analyzing the AI of the enemies. And
yeah.
Like, trying to figure out, especially if you like have a sniper rifle and you're waiting and you're just basically waiting for an enemy to cross into your crosshairs.
Yeah.
Like, that's the fun part for me is, like, to figure out, okay, how good did they make the AI on this thing?
That's the dorkiest way to enjoy a video game.
Oh, but I mean, my thing is, like,
yeah.
I love all the first-person shooters, and it's so weird to not... This is the first Modern Warfare where I'm like, I'm not getting it.
Yeah.
Because, like, I'm all in 8 hours a day after a work day, you know?
Did you ever play an old-school... 8-bit game called Ladybug, which was like Pac-Man, but imagine that the playing field of Pac-Man, the walls have switch doors, so when you pass through the door, it moves the wall and changes the layout of the
room.
That sounds so familiar. It's like Pac-Man puzzle.
it's weird because it's like Pac-Man, but they decided to make the walls penetrable. They're swinging doors, so when you pass through the wall, it changes the layout of the room, and the baddies can't pass through those walls, but you can.
Sounds easy.
It isn't though, because it speeds up as right. you progress through the game. Yeah. It gets faster and faster.
Why do you mention it?
I think that my thing about like checking out AI and like is all about how to figure out how to like supplant the intentions of the programmers and.
Oh yeah,
and just like breeze through it.
Yeah,
being able and the to same time way, everything.
Mortal Kombat was a perfect example of that. It's like if you fucking cream the crop, then it gets so hard. So you kind of have to like
if you cream the crop,
if you do so good that you don't let them even attack.
Uh huh.
Or if you back up too much to block, and they figure out that you're blocking. Like,
oh right. Yeah.
You got to be random and also not be your best until you need to be.
I'm still trying to figure out what cream the crop came from. I don't know if it's something that you've always said or if you meant to say something else, but I can't figure out what you meant to say.
I like it as a verb. I do. Because he's using yeah. cream of the crop as an action.
Right.
So when you're the best, you're the cream of the crop.
Right.
So if you do the best at this game, you're creaming the crop.
Right. You've creamed the crop.
You've creamed it. You've creamed the crop.
Yeah.
I like it.
That should be a
if you cream on your the next crop, t-shirt. Man. You're not going to win the next match no matter what.
Oh, hey, speaking of t-shirts, are my t-shirts available on the store yet?
Not yet. I sent an email to connect them and it hasn't happened yet because the person I'm reaching out to isn't the person that ever did that. Okay, so, well, like, yeah, it'll happen soon.
We also have a sale coming up, I think.
We have a sale.
We never mentioned the Tee Public on this episode.
I know. This week we're going to have, and this might even be too late, but we're having a sale on t-shirts. We have one new t-shirt design.
Wait, is it currently happening?
I think it's for Halloween.
Oh, fuck.
So if not, check it out, though, because we can extend it. I can ask for an extension since we did it so late. But we have one new design on our page, and then we're trying to link Wade's page to our page because he finally came out with the Flat Earth.
Yeah, I got flat my Flat Earther
shirts,
logo.
Man. They're cool.
If you're a secret Flat Earther, it's the perfect shirt for you because no one's going to know what it means except for other Flat Earthers.
That is the.
But I think it's pretty much in the lexicon now.
What?
Flat Earth?
No.
Yeah, but his t-shirt
seen
design
my shirt.
Is okay. like.
It's a logo, it's a secret code.
I see.
It's great.
All right.
And then I also have Albert Einstein eating pussy. Kind of. He's doing the finger thing.
Oh, yeah. I was like, what? I didn't see that. I'm like, oh, yeah.
Oh, it has nothing to do with the show.
But. I assumed you were going to use the photo of him with his tongue sticking
yeah.
out.
Yeah. And I just put a hand in front of it.
Oh. Oh, like the two fingers making a V shape?
Yeah.
That's dope. So funny because I kind of didn't notice the hand in that it made me go like, oh, this is just how the picture's always been.
Did you look at it?
Yeah.
Oh.
You sent me the link, and I was like, oh, let's... Because I was... Oh, yeah, whatever. Yeah. And I.
So it, what's our...
The hand looked so natural that I overlooked it.
Yeah, man, I did a very good job. and credit due to Becky Garcia. I feel like I'm ripping her off, because she riffed that one night at a party thinking it was a real shirt. And so I just stole her idea.
We'll give her a shirt.
Give her a free one.
Yeah, we'll give her a shirt.
She'll be stoked about it.
Fuck.
You did the work.
Oh,
for
what's the address? TEE Public.
I think it's TEE Public/Real Life Sci-Fi.
Okay.
TEE Public.
I know that you can search Real Life Sci-Fi on TEE Public and you'll find us. No spaces.
Oh God, I wouldn't guarantee that. Their search is the worst.
Well, ours was fucked up for a long time and they fixed it.
Okay.
We couldn't even. No matter how you spelled Real Life Sci-Fi, we were unsearchable for a long time.
Yeah.
What about hyphens?
All the stuff. Nothing worked. Hyphens, spaces, no spaces.
All right. Well, let's get to the topic. Willie, what are we talking about?
Tonight on Real Life Sci-Fi, The Seat of the Soul, The Sixth Sense, The Pineal Gland. Is there anything to this fucking thing that I talk about all the time? Our realms of perception miscalculated. Find out tonight on Real Life Sci-Fi.
I thought we were talking about the pineal gland and DMT.
We are. I didn't know
you
how
to mention either of those things.
Oh, I mentioned the pineal gland. Yeah. Okay.
I was looking at your shoes. Are those Jordans?
No, they're just regular Nikes.
Oh, okay.
I didn't want to lead too much. That's all.
You didn't want to pooch it.
Yeah, I'm like...
Well, then is my real life going to make sense? Because I just did some pineal gland and DMT fact-checking.
I said pineal gland in the beginning.
I'm sure it'll make sense.
All right, real life. Here we go.
Real life.
What's the pineal gland? It's in the middle of your brain in between the two hemispheres. I don't know how big it is, though. Do you?
Size of a walnut?
A walnut... What?
I don't know. I just always hear walnut used as the...
I think it's small. I think it's really small.
I hear it's as small as a grain of rice.
Oh.
So it's too small. In between those, between a walnut and a grain of rice.
The diagram I looked at, it was like the size of a pea, and I thought, oh, that seems too small, but maybe that was right on.
Yeah.
It produces melatonin. Here's the thing. It produces melatonin. That's all it does. Melatonin, a thing that helps you go to sleep, right? This is because... They don't really know. What they do know is it produces melatonin. Fun fact, grows in size until about 1 or 2 years of age, and then it stays the same size. It has to do with puberty. Like, this is so weird. I didn't know about this. Melatonin levels in children are believed to inhibit sexual development. Which is crazy. I didn't know this.
I didn't either.
And so if you don't have enough melatonin as a kid, you do like early puberty. Like that's a condition. It's not called early puberty, but...
Yeah, yeah. There's definitely like, you know, 14-year-olds with mustaches.
Yeah, but that's not even it. This would be like 6-year-olds going through puberty or something
snap.
Like that. And it, you know, it does have a whole thing on calcification. Typical in young adults, has been observed in children as young as 2 years of age. Which is insane. Internal secretions of the pineal gland, this is what I was talking about, inhibit the development of the reproductive glands. And then when it's severely damaged in children, the sex organs and the skeleton are accelerated. So if, I mean, that's got to be like, seems like you could utilize that as a doctor.
To make people giants or whatnot?
Make big people.
I think it's something that happens on accident.
No, it is. I'm saying
you can exploit
just,
that.
Yeah, you could just make like a 3-year-old go through puberty.
If you were like an evil doctor.
Yeah.
If you were evil.
Oh, yeah. Sure. Well, I mean,
generally speaking, any doctors that do any exploitation are evil.
you would only want it for your army.
Right. A doctor who's starting an
like,
army.
You know, like the movie Twins, if you were building a basketball team, pretty easy.
Calcification rates vary widely by country and correlate with an increase in age and calcification occurring in an estimated 40% of Americans by age 17.
And what causes the calcification?
Fluoride specifically. Here's the thing.
Well, no one, they don't know.
That is a leading theory of fluoride.
Well, your pineal gland is it protects your brain also. Your blood goes through there before it hits your brain. So it is the last place to collect heavy metals.
I didn't read anything about that. You want to hear about DMT?
Yeah.
Oh, do you have a question?
Well, I would think that your kidneys and liver would be the last place because those are like the filters of the body.
Those are filters of the body, but then the pineal gland filters right before it hits the brain. So your fluoride's going to go through your kidney.
Yeah, I don't know, man. See, that's not... You're in the real life segment right now, and that's not real life.
But you didn't look that up. I'll try to confirm this without being, I've just read so much about the pineal gland that I'm like, this is not me being crazy.
No, but it could be you being crazy because you're just getting it from sources that all think that the pineal gland is.
But my thing
more
is the only thing I want are sources that aren't that crazy shit.
Well, of course you want that, but I don't think that you're getting that. All right, let's talk about DMT. What can I say? It's a chemical substance that occurs in many plants and animals. Basically, any... Or wait, that might have been... I'm getting my facts mixed up. Can be consumed as a psychedelic drug. Historically, been prepared by various cultures for ritual purposes. DMT is illegal in most countries. It was first synthesized in the 1930s. Nobody knew about the psychedelic effects. At least none of the Western culture knew about the psychedelic effects until the 50s when this guy wanted to do a study on LSD and he couldn't get it. And so he just switched to DMT, which is weird.
Yeah.
Because it's like, that's a psychedelic too. So how did he know that DMT was going to be a psychedelic? But it was. Here's what's weird about DMT. And this is one of the things that I feel like people, they've taken a... Not a rumor, but a, I can't think of the word.
Myth? Folklore?
A myth or an assumption, I guess, and made it a fact. It's not proven to be made in the body. It's not proven to be released at death. Trace amounts are found in blood and urine. So it's in us somehow, but they don't know where it comes from. So the whole...
Like they don't know if the body generates it or if it's in our blood and urine because we're ingesting it through food or something.
Right. So the whole what's the near death experience, NDE or whatever?
Yeah, NDE.
The whole reason that got tied in with DMT and people thinking that your brain releases DMT when you're dying is just because they're similar. Like people who had near death experiences tell their story. And then people took DMT, told their story, and they're like, oh, these are a lot alike. Mm-hmm. And so everyone was just going like, oh, well, maybe DMT gets released in the brain, but it's not been proven. Mm-hmm. If we make DMT, they don't know where it comes from. And that's kind of all I have.
Hmm.
What do you guys think?
I think I certainly hope that the brain releases DMT at the moment of death. I've done DMT.
That's how... Before we get into your story about this, because this is a huge part of it, I'm going like, oh, fuck. My understanding has always been that pineal gland produces DMT while we dream and before death.
So everything that I looked up today, DMT produces a dreamlike or deathlike state. And so I think everyone who's made those conclusions are just guessing.
Hmm. I know. I'm not. I don't want to stop everything, but I'm like, that's weird because that's my whole episode.
No. But it doesn't wreck any of this because the thing is, just because no one's proven it doesn't mean they don't know where it comes. They don't know if we make it or not. They don't know. They also don't know what the pineal gland does outside of the melatonin thing. So because it's in the middle of the brain, so they can't like they have no fucking idea what it does. So everything that you're about to say could, in theory, be correct. It's not, but in theory, it could be.
Yeah, that's interesting. I'm reading this. Yeah, in trace amounts in human blood and urine suggesting it must be produced within the body.
Aaron, thank you for bringing the kombucha.
Yeah.
It's very good. Aaron brought us kombucha. Kombucha? Kombucha.
Kombucha.
I've heard 20 different... pronunciations of people that all know.
So we're drinking that stuff, and it's good. I was just trying to fill time while you read.
Kombucha.
Oh, now you're back to reading again. What were you going to say? I cut you off.
I don't think that its presence in the blood and urine dictates that it has to be produced in the body. There's all
Yeah, like you said, we could ingest it.
Yeah. Our blood and urine has like trace amounts of like metals and shit that we're constantly polluting ourselves with.
Right. Well, for once I've thrown Willie for a legitimate loop.
Well, it's just weird because I'm like, it's crazy.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing. Like the only way they synthesize DMT is like through plants. And so, cause how would they get it out of a human? Like it's impossible.
I don't know if you've heard this claim, but there are people that say that we basically have, and this is a different topic, but we have receptors in our body for basically CBD, and that's why it's such a healer, because there's something in our body that accepts it as like it was meant to accept that.
And oh, so, that's fun, really? Like different than like THC where it just fucks with your receptors or whatever?
Yeah.
Huh.
And so a lot of people think there's so many healing properties because whether this receptor was meant for CBD or if it's just so similar that it just fits right in, that It heals.
You just don't. You never silence your phone. It's crazy. And you have the longest ringtones.
It's really fun, though. I mean, I love hearing it. It's Contra, the second level.
Yeah, I'm sure our listeners love it every week, too.
I know that DMT is present in a lot of plants. I feel like it's present in all living things. I feel like I've read that, but
yeah,
maybe I'm wrong. But there's certain plants that it's just higher concentrated.
Yeah.
And so it kind of makes you wonder, why does this plant have it? What benefit is it to the plant? Why does the plant produce it?
Oh, that's interesting.
Is it to prevent animals from eating it?
You'd think that animals love getting drunk. I mean, you've seen cats with catnip. You've seen, don't raccoons or whatever eat, like, fermented berries and get all fucked up? Like, yeah, I love that shit.
Yeah.
Or plants, deers or something like that.
Plants that ferment in nature.
Yeah, they
love them. Like, bees that get drunk, too.
Yeah. So you'd think that would be the opposite of what... If it's getting this animal, like, all psych... Unless they get... Because they can't handle it the same way. Their brains don't understand that it's a hallucination, right? And right. So they would probably be like, whoa, this is like a devil plant. I've been poisoned.
Let me read this.
But they keep doing it because that's what alcohol does to you. It makes you want more.
No, I'm saying in the DMT spectrum, if a deer eats this plant and then he hallucinates a bunch of hunters after him, he's probably like, I'm not eating that deer plant again.
Let me read this. This is just a side thing. I'm not trying to... prove anything one way or another. I'm just trying to get information out there. A recent Beckley/St. Pau study found that regular drinkers of the DMT-containing brew ayahuasca experience a prolonged increase in many traits associated with mindfulness, leading to enhanced mood. This effect has been correlated with a decrease in alpha brain waves under ayahuasca, as well as a reduction in size of brain region called the posterior cingulate cortex in long-term ayahuasca drinkers. I don't know. I can't even comprehend what that means. I just wanted to say that because I'm like, well,
why? Why did you want to say that?
I don't know
that?
What alpha waves are.
And I have no idea what any of
that part of the brain does.
As far as mostly because I am going to talk a little bit about the waves. It's weird because most of my argument comes
from... Don't be self-conscious about what I said. It's all... This is what we know. Your argument is going to exist on theory, so who cares?
Yeah. I know, but I'm like, you know...
I just blew your mind.
I mean...
See, this is what happens when you use search engines that don't give you results based on your previous searches.
You got to use DuckDuckGo.
Fuck yeah, man. That's what I'm talking about.
I use DuckDuckGo.
Well, then how are you getting all these weird, skewed results?
If you go to DuckDuckGo and search for how to make DMT, the very first result is the correct answer. It's a recipe that's easy to follow, like as easy as a recipe for making a cake.
So So sure, melatonin is secreted by the pineal gland. Your brain waves are categorized in four different waves, and this is all frequency in hertz, right? So a beta wave is like 12.5 to 30 hertz. An alpha wave is 7.5 to 12.5 hertz. It goes beta, alpha, theta, delta.
Which one is KBPI on? Because I want to rock the Rockies.
KBPI rocks the Rockies. I think
have a lot of Colorado listeners.
We have like eight.
I mean, that was amazing to listen to. You don't have to know what we're talking about.
Yeah.
Well, so what, Willie? So what? Let's get it. So, let's talk. Get out of your phone.
Okay.
Do we want to talk about?
Let's start out with DMT.
Oh, do we need to do the WoW scale?
Oh, yeah, we need to do WoW scale.
Is it on a scale of 1 to 5, or what is it?
Yeah. It's now on a scale of 1 to 5. Do you remember your previous score?
I can tell you that I'm 1 being Wade and 5 being Willie.
Yeah.
I'm like a 2. I might be like a 1.
What
a
if
one
a 0
a
is a Wade?
Then if 0 was a Wade, I'd be like a 1.
Okay, should we do it, or should we just move on?
Yeah, let's do a quick one. I know that I jumped in too hard.
Well, I did too. I totally forgot about the WoW scale. We've only been doing this for 5 years.
Has it been 5 years? My God.
Yeah. WoW scale.
really.
First question, three-parter. Do you believe in aliens? If so, have they visited Earth? If so, have they visited Earth in the last 300 years?
I believe it's probable that life exists outside of the Earth.
Okay.
I believe that it's improbable that aliens would reveal themselves to us in any meaningful way. So I don't think that the people who say that they've been kidnapped by aliens have been. As far as if they've ever visited the Earth within the how many?
Ever.
Ever?
Ever, and then in the modern era.
Yeah, you know, I don't really have a strong belief whether they have or not, because, you know, the probability of them having the technology to travel here.
I'd just go with no. I'm not trying to put words in your mouth, but basically that part of the question is to go with ancient astronaut theorists, where it's like, oh, well, they taught them how to build the pyramids. So, like, that's ancient times.
Yeah.
And then current times are, yeah, alien abductees of today.
Yeah. I do not think that aliens have been to Earth.
Okay.
Word.
Ghosts? Believe in them?
Not in the traditional sense, no.
Well, explain.
I don't believe that there's like a sort of bodiless being that has like an awareness.
Uh-huh.
I believe that like we are made of solid material, that it's like powered by energy. And I think that after we die, that energy goes somewhere. And I think maybe people can sense some sort of remnant of energy that they interpret as being a ghost, feeling the presence of someone else.
Interesting.
Yeah.
We never had that answer.
Yeah, it's great.
Bigfoot?
I think it's very possible that Bigfoot, you know, could have existed.
You're moving up.
I think it's pretty unlikely that they exist anymore, or have for hundreds of years since the industrialization.
They're here. We're gonna find them one day.
Psychics?
Bullshit.
Superstition.
Superstition is something.
Do you practice it? Are you superstitious?
No, I'm not superstitious.
What were you gonna say?
I think that people who practice superstitions for good luck or for a good outcome of something are really just doing some sort of mindful practice that helps them perform better.
Power of positive thinking, kind of.
Kind of, yeah. It's a confidence thing.
I'm going to put you at like a 2, man.
2?
Yeah. Yeah.
Is it the Bigfoot thing?
Yeah.
The ghost thing?
The ghost thing and the Bigfoot thing.
I think, here's the thing. I think both of my views on those subjects are more scientific than they are fantastical.
Yeah, but this is a Waiter Willy scale. This is not a science or fantasy score.
Right.
Because I just don't believe in any of it. All right, let's get back to it. DMT, when do we want to talk about Aaron doing it?
That's what I want to do now. Is listen, I have a fantasy of doing DMT. I have an anxiety of freaking out.
Yeah.
Because I had a panic attack on ecstasy, and it changed me.
You've done acid, right?
Yeah.
Well, ecstasy has, more often than not, has a little bit of speed in it.
Yeah. The mixers, the fucking, it's either cleaners or speed.
It's a bummer that you had a panic attack on ecstasy.
Oh, dude, it fucking, I was going to raise for a couple.
I didn't even know that was possible to have a panic attack on it.
Yeah. And it was weird because everyone that I was with, I don't know if they were right or wrong in the situation. We went out, we were at a rave, and then we were in Vegas, and then we went out to eat afterwards, and everyone just kept eating, and I was panicking so hard that I couldn't sit down. And so I was standing next to their table, and I ordered a bunch of food thinking that would calm me down, and I couldn't eat it. And they all just ate, and everything was fine. And I'm freaking out in my mind, going like, fuck, we got to go to the hospital.
Yeah, that's the speed.
Oh, God, it was the worst. And so after that, I was like, okay, no more drugs. I'll do weed.
You think the speed, really? Because I've done Adderall, and I've never once, like, gotten panicky over it.
But
I have anxiety problems.
But you knew that you were taking it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Whereas he thought he was taking a different drug.
Right.
It turned out to affect him differently. And
he didn't know
why he was feeling that way. That's the thing about drugs, is that when you don't know what to expect, there's like the possibility.
That's why I don't do drugs.
Freak out.
I don't.
Like, I was. What's weird for me is that I was pretty. I don't want to say that I was hard, but like most of the drugs,
like your dick?
Most of the drugs that I did, I only did on ecstasy. So I've only done LSD on ecstasy. I've only done mushrooms on ecstasy. I've only done.
Wow, you've done
ketamine on ecstasy. I've only done.
It's an interesting mix.
Well, because I was doing ecstasy all the time. I know it's called Molly now, but I don't know if it's a different mixture or whatever.
I did.
I think it's the same.
I think it's the same too.
I think it's rebranded.
It's a street drug, so it's the same. It's just rebranded.
But I was, you know, for me, it was like
if you can get pure MDMA, that's like made by someone with a fucking science degree with a chemistry degree,
like Walter White, for instance.
That would be what I would love to get my hands on.
Yeah, yeah. And I always thought that that's
which one is that?
Rebranded Molly as.
It's the active drug in ecstasy.
Oh, without all the other shit.
It's just MDMA, right. But most 99% of the time when you do MDMA, there's fillers to make it a pill.
Right.
Well, the fillers that they use to make the pill are usually just completely inert and totally not, they're neutral substances. But like what people who make street drugs do is they use a little bit of the real chemical and then throw in like speed or something, so that way you think you're getting the real deal, but you're just amped up on speed,
right? Which the president is an addict of speed. Did you guys know that?
I've heard that he snorts Adderall.
Yeah,
yeah. that's so why he gets the, he gets the sniffs a lot.
Yeah.
And what, have you noticed how he sucks his teeth?
Yeah, yeah.
I think that's that.
Every time I see that, I'm like, he has
bleached his teeth so many times that he's in constant tooth pain, and so he's like trying to like.
That would make it hurt more, wouldn't it?
Yeah, but you do that to yourself to be like, is it still there? Is it still there? It's like right, you're constantly checking.
It might be something that he does to like to mitigate the pain. Maybe it's a cooling sensation. Whatever it is, he's on.
I thought that he had showed signs of drugs because I used to be able to tell what everybody was on based on their actions.
Well, I mean, he has the personality of someone who's hooked on speed. Like he's
I mean, that's his whole image before being a president was like party billionaire, right?
Yeah, yeah.
That's the image that he tried to put forward. Like he was the kind of rich nerd who would like try and go to Studio 54 and be cool, and no cool people wanted to hang out with
him. Sure.
Yeah, yeah.
So like that's how he
that doesn't mean he didn't get addicted to speed trying to be a cool party billionaire.
Yeah.
What are we talking about?
You know, I've always wanted to do DMT, but I can't because of my anxiety, and I don't want to go into something and be afraid and And so education is what's going to get me past that fear. But Aaron, you've done DMT.
Yeah. So I want to know. Before you ask your question, Willie, you mentioned the recipe. So what is the recipe?
So the recipe is, and you can pull this off. I mean, I mentioned you can just pull this off the internet.
Yeah.
But you take a plant that is high in DMT. This recipe suggests you use mimosa bark.
What?
Mimosa bark.
Time out. So. Happy 50-year anniversary to the internet today, but go on.
Okay. Happy anniversary.
Happy birthday. Internet.
50 years ago today, they sent the first transmission, which is now called the internet.
Did you get that on your daily calendar? You tear one off every day, and today was happy birthday, internet?
No, I don't read anything.
I thought the ARPANET came later. I thought that was.
Let's not get off on this. Yeah, so you take a plant which is called the mimosa plant.
So yeah, it's this bark actually.
So the mimosa is good no matter how you get it.
It's I think it's a tree that grows in Hawaii, but this bark, it looks like landscaping filler, like the bark that some people use in landscaping.
Oh, like for their front yards when they don't want to have grass or whatever.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. You like put it around your bushes.
Yeah. I like it. I like that look.
You take that
around the bushes, yeah, but the yard, no.
It's very 80s look to me.
Oh, really?
I think it became really in vogue in the 80s because it's a.
But
it's a
it
cheap
actually
way
has a good
your...
function though, filler or not for look, it holds on to moisture for those plants.
Yeah.
But go on.
Oh my God.
I'm sorry. I'm so fucking.
Jesus Christ.
I'm already.
My neighborhood was rocks only. So I didn't see this until I got to the big city. And I'm like, that's fucking dope. I like it.
My grandmother used crushed walnut shells. She had walnut trees and she would sell walnuts and take all the shells and have them. She'd crush those and line her driveway with them.
What did she use to crush the walnut shells? Just a nutcracker.
Hammer.
Just keep doing it?
Yeah.
Okay.
And the wheels of the car continues to crush them over time.
And it was her job.
So yeah, you take this bark, you pulverize it in a blender, and then you mix it with a couple of chemicals. You mix it with naphtha, which is a paint thinner that's derived from tree sap. I believe it's like a redwood tree sap derivative.
Okay.
And that extracts the DMT from the bark, from the pulverized bark. Then you add in water that's had lye dissolved in it. And lye is used as a cleaning agent. It's an industrial solvent.
Don't people burn bodies in lye? Right?
Concentrated lye. Well, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
In like mobster movies or something?
Yeah.
People do it all the time. Don't people do that? Oh, yeah. Kids, your father has died. And so we're going to go down to Costco.
So
and
we
buy
need
a
couple hundred
lie.
Dollars for the lie.
We think we could bury him, but like, why have any evidence?
You mean you're going to lie him down? No, the chemical lie, you fucking moron.
We're going to melt him in the tub. So yeah, so it's bark mixed with naphtha, and then you add a lye solution to that, and then you give that a good stir, and then you wait, and the lye and the naphtha separate, and when the lye floats to the top of the solution, you get this clear layer, and inside that clear layer is your DMT. So you use a pipette to siphon off that top layer and put that in a separate container, and then you toss that in the freezer and it forms DMT crystals. And then you scoop those out, put them on a coffee filter and let it dry out.
Mm-hmm.
And then you smoke those crystals.
So you smoked it.
Right.
Because people have injected it also.
Really?
Yeah, there's three ways to do it. There's smoking it, injecting it, and then...
ingesting.
Oh, sure, yeah.
And well, ingesting is the term for any way you put it in your body.
Well, so I think
drinking
the tea.
Oh, sure.
And the tea is made from a different plant. But I'm not a needles guy. I've never heard of anyone injecting it. But
that's just what the Wikipedia said.
The amount that you smoke is such a tiny amount. It is so minuscule. It's like you fit it on the head of a pin.
Wow.
And
shit.
A
crystal could be doubled on accident going. I'm just saying, like, shit, if it could fit on a head of a pin, you could accidentally do way too much.
Perhaps. I don't know if taking more has a different effect.
All I know is Terrence McKenna, with all hallucinogens, says make sure you take too much.
Because
if you don't hit it, you miss the mark.
So the way that I smoked it was my friend who made it just put a little tiny dab of it on top of a little nugget of weed. And the way that you smoke it is you don't apply the fire directly to it. You put the flame just above it and let it sizzle. And then it produces like gas, a little vapor that you...
that gets sucked in while you're sucking. Yeah. Uh-huh.
And they say you should take 3 hits of it for the full effect, which is why...
That's how you smoke crack, right? Isn't that that's how you smoke crack. You smoke in...
It's more about the heat. Like you
I've only seen crack smoked in movies, and even then they don't really give you like a close-up.
But isn't that the point of the ball at the end of the crack pipe? It's like...
Yeah, you heat up the glass.
Yeah, and then you're just smoking in the fumes. Mm-hmm. But aren't you only always smoking in the fumes?
Yeah, but with the crack pipe specifically, you're smoking in more vapors than you're not like smoking like a cigarette. Like,
so
you're
like
not burning it.
Did you guys ever do knife hits?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is it like that where you're just kind of like...
Maybe, but I don't think so, because even with knife hits, you're still combusting the weed.
So wait, you don't combust... I don't understand. You don't combust it?
Right. So instead of combusting it, you're vaporizing the chemical out of the material. You're vaporizing it into a gas.
By heating it up.
Right.
I think that's the same as crack. I'm pretty sure that's the point of a crack pipe.
I think so, too, without knowing anything.
So
anyway, it doesn't matter.
So I only did two hits. The first hit...
So, but you were also smoking weed, right? You put it in
a very little bit, but okay. I didn't really burn the weed really that much.
Right.
Because you're really just using the weed as like a platform for the DMT to sit on top of, so you can apply the flame to the top of it. The first hit, you don't like feel high, but visually everything changes a little bit. Like it's like everything that you see looks like an oil painting.
Wow.
Yeah.
Just a little bit. And maybe things like maybe even like wave a little bit.
Mm-hmm. So it looks like Borderlands 3.
I haven't seen Borderlands 3.
It's a video game that Willie referenced earlier.
It looks like a cartoon.
It's like a cell animation game. I love those games. Do you remember that? It's not Dungeons and Dragons, but it's like you play a knight. It was like an early video game that looked like a cartoon.
Which system?
It was an arcade game.
Oh, yeah. You play a knight. It was called Dragon Quest or something like
that. Dragon's Lair.
Dragon's Lair.
And it was impossible?
It was very impossible.
The controls were not responsive.
You had to hit up. Like,
it was a timed thing, and like you had to beat the timing.
Yeah. Well, you had to know it. You had to get so far that you memorized the entire thing.
I keep playing that game. I've played that game a million times because they have it at Button Smash, whatever. Button Mash.
Mm-hmm. It's fun just because it's like, I'm playing a video game. I'm playing a cartoon.
I'm good at fucking timing in video games, and I can't even hit the button right.
There's on YouTube, you can see people have like recorded themselves doing a straight run through and like getting all the way to the end.
Yeah, because they memorized it.
Yeah, it's all memorizing.
That's what the game is. It's like you have to hit the button before you think of anything.
Dude, I remember playing that. It was like one of the first video games I ever played, and like Aaron said, it's like amazing because you're like, whoa, I'm controlling a cartoon.
Yeah.
But I couldn't get past like the first move.
Yeah.
Everyone played that game. Maybe they pumped like five quarters in their entire lifetime because it's just like so frustrating.
You're just like,
this is
fucking bullshit.
Great concept, impossible to play.
Right. Yeah. All right, let's take a quick break and then we'll get back to DMT and your experience. Right now, we're in Borderlands 3 world. Or one of the oil painters. Who's a famous oil painter?
Oh. Jean.
Is there one called Minois? I'll bet there's one called Minois.
what about Wapah? Wapah?
Sci-fi. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Real Life Sci-Fi with Wade and Willie. I'm Wade.
I'm Willie.
Don't forget to subscribe to our Patreon. Patreon.com/reallifesci-fi. We're here talking with Aaron Aberstein about DMT. He's just getting into his experience. First hit, everything looks like a
painting.
An oil painting.
Yeah.
And then what?
Ew.
So I should also go back like 10 minutes before that and let you know, like, the place where you do it is really important too. You need to do it in a darkened room.
That's very important. Dark.
Because your brain needs to have a dark space, a dark void for which to project images onto. It can't do it onto a white wall.
Okay.
So I took the second hit, and the first thing was that the guy that I was doing it with, I was talking to him, and it was like I was talking to him and he was on the other side of an X-ray machine. Like, his skin was translucent and blue. I could see all the bones in his body talking to me. It was surreal.
Me jumping in is like, basically, you could see in 3D. Because
you can't see in 3D.
We cannot see in 3D normally because we can't perceive past what's in front of us. We see pictures of everything.
You mean X-ray vision? X-ray vision.
Yeah, but ultimately, we don't see in 3D. We see a 2D version of 3D, meaning I could draw exactly what I see right here because depth, shading, shadowing. We don't see in 3D because we don't see.
All right,
we have stereoscopic vision. That's what we have, but it's so that is a different term.
Let's not
than 3D, but I understand what you're saying.
Who cares?
Well, I'm just saying that, like, to see in. I guess what I'm saying is to see in the third dimension. is to see through, the, like you were saying, the skeleton. It's like you see past things that are just in front of you.
Yeah, I mean, I was hallucinating. So, I mean, I think that's the word that I would use to describe what you're talking about.
Yeah, yeah. Meaning you can't see in the third dimension. We see a 2D projection of the third dimension. If that makes sense to you, great. If not, think about it.
One of my favorite parts of every episode of this podcast, by the way. So that was like the first hallucination that I experienced. But after that, I looked away from him and then looked out into the darkness of the room that we were in. And
did you have a guide or was it just you two?
It was just the two of us.
Okay.
Yeah, he had done
it. And you two, the band, was there, right?
No.
Oh, they weren't?
What do you see?
Well, we were listening to this remix album that someone made where they mixed all of the Beatles, post-Beatles material together as if it was a lost Beatles record. And it's called Everyday
Chemistry. Weird.
It's called Everyday Chemistry.
No Wings, right? No Wings?
There's Wings material in there.
Oh, okay. I mean, I like Wings, but just curious.
It's really good, and it was an excellent choice for this drug experience.
Uh-huh. So there was music playing the whole time, is what you're saying?
Yeah, and by the whole time, it only lasted 15 minutes in reality.
Right. But how long did it feel like?
Beyond years.
Well, hey, let him get to it.
Did you hear that?
Yeah, I know. You're jumping it.
So after he went X-ray, or 3D, as you might call it, Willie.
As Willie only might call it.
I looked away from him. We were in this room where there was just a little bit of light on us, but it was a large room, and it was mostly unlit, and it was late at night, and it was all dark. And basically, it was like what you would see in a sci-fi movie when a ship leaves a planet and goes through the atmosphere and then enters orbit.
Mm-hmm.
And then I sort of was in that place for a while, sort of in space. And
so at that point, when you entered space, mm-hmm. were you self-conscious at all about the other guy?
Absolutely. Not self-conscious, but aware.
Okay.
The entire time, you are fully aware that you're still in this room where you did this drug.
Yeah. And I've never heard that version. That's a great comment to put out there, that like, you know where you're at. You're just hallucinating.
You're fully aware that you did this drug and that you're in this room and that you're hallucinating, which is great because some drugs, like, you take too much acid or too large of a dose of mushrooms and you kind of forget that you did the drug. And you're like, Am I going insane?
And your hallucination takes over and you forget where you're at.
Totally. And you forget that this drug has been done plenty of times. No one has gone insane from it.
Yeah.
Insane people have done psychedelics and then just turned out to be like, oh, I can't go back now to pretending to be sane anymore. I'm just going to let the world know I'm crazy. Like Sid Barrett.
It was always in the cards.
Oh my gosh.
It's like, this whole time I've been trying to make everyone think that I'm sane now that I've done these psychedelics.
So you're in space.
So you're in space, and I was sort of there, and it's a very serene feeling.
Should hope so.
You feel very much at peace and happy about what you're experiencing. And then I think that second hit that I'd already taken really took hold, and I went out into space, left Earth's orbit, mm-hmm. and sort of traveled at like hyper speed, and sort of left the galaxy and was like out into some darker area of the universe, mm-hmm. where there was no light. And once I passed into that realm where there was no light, that's where the real light show commenced. After I passed into that darkness, then things really started lighting up. Like, if you ever see Dia de los Muertos artwork, Like Mexican skeleton, like wood carvings from like the 1800s. Mm-hmm. I saw that kind of stuff. Not just the, like the skull figures, but more of just like that sort, the geometry of that kind of art. And I was there for a while. Now, when I say,
is it
like
moving, or is it you're just looking at art?
It's moving. The art is moving.
So it's like watching a puppet show or something like that?
Sort of. It's
like you never think that it's like these are skeletons and they're alive. You know that it's like just it's not a sentient thing that you're looking at, right?
Right. Okay. Yeah, you never think that, oh, this is an alien that's revealed itself to me. However, you do feel, you do get the feeling that you are being, that you are having a revelation of certain knowledge being given to you.
Knowledge and perspective. And you say given to you, do you feel like that? I know that I'm jumping the gun too, but
wait, so don't even ask that because I know what you're going to ask, because that's like what everyone says about this is like you've been giving like intelligence and stuff like that.
I wouldn't call it, I don't know if I would call it intelligence.
Knowledge, whatever. Just so.
Yeah, awareness.
Wrap up the trip. Like, so what was the craziest thing that happened? And then how long did it feel like? And then how long was it actually?
Well, there's so much more that happened. Like,
because it was like a year? Did you say years?
Years.
It felt beyond like years. It
felt like a lifetime. Seriously.
But was it?
And the entire time, none of it was scary at all.
Right.
It was about as scary as a roller coaster can be.
Okay.
So, like you know, before you get on the roller coaster that it's going to be safe. You know after that it was safe. But while you're on the roller coaster, you're like, well, maybe I could be the one in a million who dies. Uh-huh. You don't really even feel that even.
Yeah.
You feel just more of the sensation of this is amazing and it's so overwhelming.
So when you came out of it, what did you take away anything from it, or were you just like, okay, that was cool?
Yeah, what I got out of it was tied into what I experienced after that last part that I told you about, which was I had an experience of witnessing and understanding the makeup of the entire universe and how it all correlates with everything in our lives as human beings on this planet. You get a really clear understanding of how you and I are just atoms in this soup of the universe.
Yeah.
And that our feelings are not really important to the universe.
Right.
And they're also, especially the troubling feelings that we have in day-to-day life are really undue, and we can discard them, and that we can walk away from them because they don't help us at all.
I'm going to throw this out there, and this might be the dumbest thing I've ever said. If you've ever had suicidal thoughts, please do DMT.
Wait, I've had suicidal thoughts. I'm not going to do DMT.
Who hasn't?
Perspective.
I think you're crazy if you've never had suicidal thoughts.
Here's the thing.
If you've never considered it, you're nuts.
Here's the thing. People with depression don't understand what it's like to not have depression. People that don't have depression don't understand what it's like to have.
Yeah, yeah. Mm.
And so I'm with you. I'm like, how have you never thought about killing yourself? But then there are so many people out there that are just like, cheer up. Why can't you just cheer up? Because they don't get it from the other side.
Yeah. What's weird is in both perspectives, I just feel like I'm in the middle, because I'm like, I feel like any suicidal thoughts that I've ever had were really to make somebody feel bad, not because I really felt that. Even though I feel the depression of existence in that we're so fucking ass backwards in our what we should be focusing on, that, you know, in my mind.
But what you're saying is, if you're seriously contemplating suicide, like if you've had really dark nights where you've almost done it, find some DMT. Like, how are they? I'm with you, but like, that's not easy.
Maybe I'll help you do that.
Okay. I think that
reach out to Willie.
only because it's like, I
think that most people who do DMT will have their perspective changed about life as a human in this life that you have. and existence after it and existence before it. Because I feel like I was exposed to...
Let me cut you off. When did you do it?
This was like 4 years ago, I think.
Okay. So probably in the time we've known each other for longer than 4 years, yeah. For sure. I'm just benchmarking it. Now go on.
I felt like I was exposed to what exists outside of our consciousness and what exists outside of this world
and this
realm, this physical realm.
You saying that makes me go like, that's what I'm chasing, but I haven't hit yet. Meaning,
Willie, I don't think you should do this because you already...
No, you should definitely do it.
No, you already think all this stuff. It's only going to concrete it and make you crazier.
But I'm so... Listen, the reason why we have a suicide problem, I would say, in America is because we are disconnected from humanity.
Okay. That's way too early for you to do this weekly soapbox about the education system or whatever.
So I'll tell you what I got out of it. After experiencing that knowledge is that I came out of it feeling like it is very important in this life to appreciate what's out there in this life and to not fret about corporeal losses, not to fret about jobs you didn't get or people who didn't give you the affection you wanted, or even the aches and pains of your body, and to focus more on the joys of life, because this is I truly believe that this is the only time that you'll get to experience life on Earth as a human, and why not make the best of it? Because what comes next is going to be even better, but
we can't predict it. We can't perceive it. Different. We can't contemplate it. Sure, we can contemplate it, but it's like we're not going to be right about, lamely I'll bring up the fucking butterfly larva version, which is like, is this worm fucking contemplating what it's going to be like to be a butterfly? It has no concept. Just eat your leaf. If there's a depressed fucking caterpillar out there, like, don't worry, you're going to be a butterfly.
I think what I got out of it was that it's important not to dwell in the darkness and not to let yourself believe that all there is the darkness, because there's much more than that. And if you spend all of your time looking into a void, you're not going to notice what's behind you.
I mean,
and what's beyond that?
My perspective is I've anxiously looked into the future without knowing anything, and that makes it even more scary in some situations, And I'm like, how do I make it? This might be very selfish. Maybe I'm trying to make the future easier for me by making everyone else more intelligent, but I'm just afraid that we have gotten to. Well, I don't need to go off on this. Whatever. As far as DMT is concerned, your pineal gland creates DMT when you dream and right before you die. And so I've taken that information as we are souls that are fitting into this physical body. And when we dream and when we die, those are the only two times that we in our life need to transcend our physical bodies. And so one of my whole things I wanted to get into was that I believe that our existence, which is one third asleep, that is just as important to our existence as the awake state. And so your story of DMT to me is something that we're supposed to experience while we're dreaming, and that I'm not going to say this is nefarious and that like leaders have like taken dreams away from us. The dream state is supposed to be as important to our lives as the awake state, and that where we go when we dream is a real place whether we're astral projecting or whatever, whatever I can't define, but like that is supposed to be as important to our existence as the awake state.
Have you ever taken melatonin?
No.
You should. It helps you sleep. And I started taking it last year when I had a job that I had to be up at an early hour every day. And I could not stay up late any longer. It was affecting work. So to help me reset my sleep patterns, I started taking melatonin for a short period of time. And man, you have powerful dreams.
Did you go into early puberty and did your dick get real big? Did your skeleton grow? And
I went into a second puberty.
You went to double puberty?
Yep.
I would like if there was some secret. They're like, oh, you take melatonin, your dick gets big, and nobody talks about it.
Well, okay, but like, so this DMT thing, all of Willie's weirdness aside, I mean, a little bit of it, what you're saying is like, because you told me you think that when you do DMT, you're talking to an entity, right? Or you're communicating with an entity.
From everything that I've ever seen, when it comes to psychedelics, and this is basically mostly Terrence McKenna, and I know that he's been gone for a long time, but he basically says if you do LSD or mushrooms or DMT, that instead of you just fucking having this wondrous journey, he claims that there is something that is communicating information that transcends us. And so he tends to think that there is...
Right. So he calls them machine elves.
Yeah.
And so I wanted to ask, like, was there anything like that where you're like talking to like some kind of...
No. There wasn't with this. I have heard of that with people who take heroic doses of mushrooms.
Yeah.
The elves or gnomes specifically is what I've been told by someone who like takes what's called heroic doses of mushrooms, where you're taking like full ounces
right
at a time or more. And she said it was basically like little people come out of the woodwork and like wave hello
and so here's
mischievous and want to lead you down paths and like lead you on to little adventures.
When I hear this freaks me out in such a way, because there's so many stories of, okay, let's take myth of gnomes in any realm. Let's take the Icelandic gnomes. Let's take mythological gnomes and elves and whatever, all these different creatures that exist. What if there were beings that existed alongside of us that most people couldn't perceive, but if you did a psychedelic drug, it's not that you're doing a drug. It's that your pineal gland, which has rods and cones in it, which we use to see, what if it opened our perception to just see other beings that existed alongside of us? No. I'm not saying that. Well, I don't know. I am saying that.
I think that our perception is limited, and that there's more in the universe than what we're able to perceive with our senses and perceive with the technology that we have even. I don't think that there are
gnomes?
Creatures living among living amongst us that we're unable to perceive.
David the gnome?
But that does sort of like take me back to the WoW scale questions. You know, when you talk about aliens, have they ever visited Earth? And my first thought is like, well, have they? They would have to travel much faster than the speed of light to get here in any reasonable time,
unless they were born here,
or unless they don't exist in a physical body as we conceive one to be,
or if they're transdimensional.
Transdimensional.
Here's a stupid thing from last night. I go out. I try to go out every night. I look up at the stars all the time.
Oh God!
And last night I went out twice, and I saw a UFO both times I went out.
Mm-hmm. And they weren't planes or satellites.
And I don't believe that they were. And I believe I can recognize a plane or a satellite.
Did you hear about that satellite, by the way, that just crashed in Michigan in someone's yard?
Yeah,
it was a Samsung. Samsung had a satellite that crashed, landed just a few days ago in someone's yard. And it actually is not like melted and like burned up like you would imagine something like passing through the atmosphere. It looks like it was dropped out of a crane.
It looks like a bad movie, and that
bad movie, and you're like, oh, satellites, I guess, aren't that sophisticated as I imagine they are.
And they're not. They're just like,
I would hold that for ransom. I'd be like, hey, Samsung.
Yeah.
I got your shit.
I'm like, hey,
$2 million. Come get it.
I can tweet all these bullshit. I think it's
more of a lawsuit than a ransom.
Lawsuits, you get the court involved. I would just be like, come get it. $2 million. It's yours.
So I see UFOs all the time. And I say that knowing that I can identify planes and satellites. And so forget all this stuff. I'm not saying that I'm special in any way or anything like that. I'm just saying that our perspective is that they're driving here and like nothing can drive here. So it's easier for people to say like aliens don't exist. But if let's just say that there was an entity trying to communicate with us. Let's take us as a parallel. Well, we are sending out satellites into the universe saying like, hey, here's a gold record disc with instructions on how to play this record. If you know how to figure this out and you're intelligent, here's our DNA, here's where we're located, here are star charts to us. We have sent out this information into the universe.
The wild thing about that satellite that they sent out is that it's in the hope that A, an alien life will find it, and B, that alien life happens to be intelligent enough to examine it, figure it out, and then play that record.
Yeah, instead of like, oh, there's water here. Let's go here and take all the water. Whatever.
Let's say it happens to miraculously be encountered by alien life, but that alien life is stupid.
Yeah.
Like, alien life, probable. Intelligent alien life, also probable, but probably not as probable.
And then add either benevolent or caring. Add the word caring to the alien life. I'm like, you know what I mean? All the life that we've seen is just existing. And it's just like trying to be the top of the food chain. It's not trying to be anything other than not be hunted. Whatever.
Like, consider an alien life billions of years ago from millions of light years away sent its own satellite and it happens to crash land on Earth.
Did they write Samsung on it?
The dinosaur version of alien life where it's like, well, we're dinosaurs, but we figured out how to send out a message.
But also consider the fact that what if that satellite crash landed on Earth and we didn't even recognize it as being an alien satellite and we just thought it was some fucking meteorite or piece of trash.
This is what's great about. Okay, so my parallel.
Well, find it.
What I was trying to get to was. It just lands in
the desert.
We're sending out technology into the universe, right?
Well, we sent out.
Hold on. We were sending out.
Sure. So, the solar system.
Take a more. The Voyager is already outside of our solar system for decades.
Right.
So take a more advanced civilization, and let's say they were trying to send something out. Terrence McKenna talks about this, and my argument along with this, where the lines are blurred, which is like, well, if you're going to send out something into the universe to try to find life. What if you could send something that was alive, aka a mushroom, a spore, something that could travel and exist in extreme situations?
DNA.
Where when you ingest this thing, it then opens up the email. It opens up the dialogue of like, hey, you've taken mushrooms. Now you can connect to anything in the universe, and
why use mushrooms? Like, we're talking about DMT. Why wouldn't it be DMT? It's in a bunch of plants.
Same thing. Just a hallucinogen that survive. That right. is a plant. A plant-based hallucinogen that anything can take. And when they take it, it opens you up to be like, hey, you're intelligent. Where are you? You're at Earth. I accept the fact that. That could be the equivalent of us sending out a satellite that like DMT and or mushrooms could be an intelligent civilization out there sending mushrooms out all over the universe, and anything, any intelligent being that takes it opens up a communication, and then it's like, oh fuck, there you are.
Well, okay, maybe, but like, I understand your point, but why would it be a two-way communication? Like, why wouldn't it just be the same thing that we did with the record? This is a record of these aliens, so we're taking it, and then like Aaron went out into the universe and he saw all this shit, and it took him years to come out of it. Why does it need to be a two-way? Like, why do you think that they now have access to his location?
I don't think it needs to be a two-way. That's just me trying to explain it in that way. It doesn't need to be two-way. It could be a one-way thing where it's like, hey, like Terrence McKenna came up with the idea of the sacred. I can't even think right now. But
if you don't know, Terrence McKenna is our friend who wrote Spider-Man, Far From Home, and Jumanji, the reboot. That's a different McKenna.
He's a crazy mushroom guy. Yeah, you're right. Chris McKenna.
Yeah.
Right?
Terrence McKenna is a guy who's done tons of psychedelics and tons of research on them.
If you go to the Wikipedia, he's got a whole section in the DMT where he talks about like these machine elves or whatever.
He was responsible for a lot of research that happened with DMT, and a lot of these people talked about interacting with a geometrical world and beings. And so when you say you did DMT and you felt like you spent a lifetime there, which, you know, did you write on that episode? You helped write that Rick and Morty episode, right, where they played the video game of life?
Yeah.
So,
but we didn't base it on any of this.
No, you didn't. But like that concept exists in that, like, well, Aaron took DMT. He spent a lifetime, and all a lifetime means is that time doesn't exist, you know, because in a second, a lifetime is a second.
Well, time is a perception.
Yeah. This one is cloudier. Look at that. I got the last of it.
Is it the same?
We all have the same in our glass, but this one, I got the last in the bottle, so it has the sort of the SCOBY. Interesting.
Gross.
Gross.
your point? I mean, like, well, do you want to riff on
let me riff on this, because here's something that I believe when it comes to, now this isn't, I didn't make any of these things up. I grabbed onto these ideas, but when it comes to the pineal gland, I feel like I'm reaching out like a religion, in that like I have faith in something that there isn't as much proof to, and rightly
so.
Well,
what is your faith? What do you mean? What do you want the pineal gland to be?
I believe that the pineal gland is shaped like a pine cone. And when I look at ancient civilizations,
I mean, that's a fact. That's why it's called the pineal gland.
It is a fact. And when you look
at... Is that true? I don't know that.
Yeah, it's shaped like a pine cone.
So whenever I hear pineal gland, I picture the eye of Horus. Because I've been told that, like, where it's located in the brain looks like the eye of Horus.
Right, it lines up, yeah.
So, taking all that, Rene Descartes said that the pineal gland was the seat of the soul. I don't know much more about him. I used to know, he's somebody that you study in history, whatever. you know, I don't know who he is, whatever. The ancient Greeks explained the pineal gland as our connection to the realm of thought. Buddhists explain the pineal gland as they know it as a spiritual awakening. Hinduism connects the third eye chakra to the pineal gland, and they say it's the seat to intuition and clairvoyance. And then there are quotes that Jesus said, "The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eye is clear, your whole body will be full of light." And Egyptians have the eye of Horus, which, if you take a cross section of a brain, looks like the eye of Horus, which identifies where the eye is, which is the pineal gland. The third eye, all of these ancient civilizations talk about it. The pineal gland to me is an important...
Yeah, but I want to know what they thought the fucking liver did. They don't know. They're just dissecting bodies and going like, what's this?
But I don't think they were dissecting at all. I think
well,
that
then how would they even know about it?
I think...
Like, you can't just make up. You can't just be like, oh, there's probably a thing in the middle of our brain. And
I mean, like, maybe it's possible that someone, you know, not just someone, but several people tripped enough to be able to, like...
Oh, you mean... I thought you meant fell down. I thought you meant they fell down and cracked their heads open and people's... People look through their brains.
But no, I think maybe, you know, maybe enough people went on enough trips to where they were able to definitively point to some part of their head where they're like, I think it's coming from right here.
Well, sure,
Here's the weird thing about, let's just talk about human evolution and humans. For at least, and I'm wrong about this number, but for at least 20,000 years... Humans are exactly the same. We have not progressed more. So I'm saying that like 6,000 years ago, let's take...
Wait a minute. The last 100 years of human existence have been like the most accelerated of all 100,000 years of human existence.
For what? For what?
Our technological advances.
For technology.
Our knowledge
Forget about technology, all right?
Okay.
The for what a human is
physical
capable,
evolution
for what is capable of a human understanding, humans have been the same for thousands of years. So all I'm saying is let's say that you accept that the humans that built the pyramids 5,000 years ago,
okay,
according to history, which I don't believe. So let's say
You don't believe? You mean it, you think it happened much longer ago?
I think all the megalithic structures were built at least 12,000 years ago, and that the humans that existed 5,000 years ago inhabited these structures, but they didn't understand what they were.
And
they
just like you think they just took credit for them?
I think that we added credit to them. I don't think that they did.
This is like talking to a kid in a fucking comic book store.
Say, for example, that the Great Pyramid was built by Khufu. Uh-huh. That was attributed to him because it's written on inside the pyramid, but like there is no hieroglyph for pyramid. There is no history that says that they built the pyramids at this time. We've just attributed
history. Absolutely is. The ancient Egyptians recorded the building of the pyramids while they were doing it.
I don't agree with that.
They did. Those records exist.
Here are two people that are trying to argue things that either of us know nothing about. You're taking something that was... We're both wrong.
You think that what I think is like a fabrication that's been fed to me.
Not on purpose, but we... In the same way that like, hey, this pot could hold water, so it's a water pot. And actually, it held gasoline. I'm just saying that like our understanding is generations... understanding things and then telling us what they're about. Neither you or me can actually say that this is what it was because understanding is from somebody else who researched it, whether they were wrong or right, and this was told to us.
Do you have any ideas about like when this disinformation was implemented?
I don't think that it was on purpose. I think that we were just stupid in the same way that, okay. So let's say, I know that this feels like a stretch, but okay, let's just say, okay. Take the Great Pyramid, for example, they call it a tomb. They've never found a body in any of the pyramids. They've never found any bodies in any pyramids. And there's no inscriptions inside the pyramids that when you do find a tomb, the whole thing is lit up with both inscriptions and things to take with them on their journey of their death. You know, like when you find a tomb of a pharaoh, it's filled with treasures and there are hieroglyphs all over the walls. None of the pyramids have had any of those things. This is 100% true. This isn't me fucking conspiracy theory asshole. None of the pyramids have any inscriptions inside of them. And they've never found a body in any of the pyramids. Maybe a later pyramid like the Step Pyramid, which is like bullshit. It looks like it's made out of bricks, right? But the Great Pyramid did not have any pharaohs in it, did not have any inscriptions in it, and they say it is a tomb. And so this is where this all is blurred because we are taught that it is this, but it is not this. And so there is no hieroglyph for pyramid either. But my parallel is when we talk about, when we try to talk about things of today, let's say we are trying to describe the White House. We know what the White House is, but if you were to write about it, no one in the future is going to know that, like, oh, that's where the president could live, but he didn't live. That's where he worked. That this building represented. Sure, there was no hieroglyph for pyramid, but when we talk about the White House, it means so much more to us. And so let's say America goes down and they find evidence of the White House or the Pentagon. They're not going to understand what it is. When you picture 50,000 years from now and they're finding the Pentagon, there's not going to be any record of the Pentagon being something, right?
But the Pentagon has nothing to do with our culture.
But so the Great Pyramid, in the same vein,
I would say the Pentagon has quite a bit of influence over our culture.
Yeah, yeah, but you get what the parallel?
You mean the shape of what goes on there?
No, I just mean I don't understand why. Like, I guess I don't understand this conversation. But like, I don't know what you guys are talking about.
There's no hieroglyph of the Great Pyramid. There's no hieroglyph of any of the pyramids.
I don't believe that's true. I'm not going to look it up.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But that's fine. But according to me, there is not one.
Something you rarely hear on this podcast is the phrase, cares? I strongly disagree. But yeah, but it's like, who cares?
Well, I don't understand the point that you're trying to make. What are you talking about?
The point that I'm trying to make is that we try to act like we know exactly what everything was
But what are you talking about? I thought we were talking about DMT.
This episode is DMT and the pineal gland. And I'm trying to say there are many ancient civilizations that worshipped pine cones and the pineal gland. Mm. But we don't even attribute them worshipping pine cones as worshipping the pineal gland. So take, for example, even the Pope. The Pope carries a staff. And on his staff is a pine cone. I would argue that pine cone is the pineal gland, and that the religion has lost the spirituality because all of a sudden money making happened, and the Pope is not trying to promote spirituality. The Pope is ultimately trying to make money, and he has a staff that has a pine cone on it. And so most people will argue that that is a pine cone. I would argue that is the pineal gland, and that staff was supposed to represent where spirituality comes from instead of a fucking pine cone.
Well, it doesn't. Obviously, it doesn't represent a pine cone. I mean, you can make a million metaphors for what a pine cone.
But yeah, pine cone can hold a lot.
But I've read a lot of things that say the agnostics worship the pine cone because it's a living thing. I'm saying that, like, me researching this stuff, there are a lot of religious organizations that say that even that is a pine cone, and not, they don't talk about the pineal gland at all.
Well, because they worship a god. Why would they bring a pineal gland into it? Like, I don't care what a religion says.
I agree with you, but why would they bring a pine cone into it? I'm just saying
because it represents life. It represents the seed that you put into the ground that becomes a tree, that becomes fruit that you eat.
Yeah, yeah. And my parallel is, what is the Pentagon in our civilization? What if a future civilization finds any record of the Pentagon? They're gonna be like, what is this thing they're talking about? I'm just saying that, like, there's a miscommunication that happened with ancient. All of these things are. I don't believe in organized religion, but I think that all of the old religions actually were trying to communicate spirituality. And so, like, you know, the ancient Greeks said that the pineal gland was our connection to the realm of thought. The Buddhists know it as a spiritual awakening. Hinduism connects the pineal gland to the third eye chakra, and they say it's the seat to intuition and clairvoyance. And so I'm just saying these ancient religions have an idea of what the pineal gland is. Well, and none of that is talked about.
There's
today.
Definitely lost knowledge. There's definitely lost education from ancient civilizations. Absolutely, there is. But
and so I'm just trying to take all that and be like, listen, your experiences with DMT that transcend your understanding of what a physical realm is. This is me throwing words into your mouth with that, whatever. And then ancient religions trying to have this stuff be important, but then it's lost throughout time. My take on all this is that, like, if you do psychedelics, you're going to get a different understanding of the universe. You felt like you knew stuff that no one could ever know without experiencing. And I'm saying these old religions, sure, they did drugs too. They did stuff too. Sure, they may have had shamans that were responsible for your journey. Mm. But all of that information is lost, and we take all of this without a grain of salt and say, hey, this is real, this is this.
Well, there's different kinds of knowledge. There's firsthand knowledge, and then there's knowledge that you take in trust from someone else.
Yeah, and religions rely on your personal experience, where science relies on proof that they could retest this stuff. But my question is, from all of your experiences from DMT, and this is too blanket and too vague. I'm just trying to make a point with my question.
Just the one experience, by the way, with DMT. I only did it the one
time.
Sure. That's an interesting thing about the drug.
Anything that science
you don't have a jonesing to do it again. It's not like drinking or weed or anything where you're like, I want to do that again next weekend or whatever. Mm-hmm. Like you are so satisfied that, like, you don't necessarily need to experience it again right away. You can reflect on it, and you don't, over time, like, your experience from it doesn't fade away in the way that, like, I don't know, other drugs do. It's.
What about when someone dies, and then you're like, I'm gonna wake up tomorrow, and I'm gonna live every day because this guy just died, and I'm gonna, like, really fucking, it's like that, right? And then a week goes by, and you're like, fuck it, I'm not gonna get out of bed.
I gotta check my Clash of Clans.
It is a bit like that, and yet at the same time, it's not.
Well, that's what I mean. Does it? Do you to this day have to remind yourself about the feeling that you got?
I do, actually.
Came out of it?
Yes, because the feeling of serenity that you get from it does fade away, in that, you know, after a little bit of time, a few days or whatever, you do feel yourself susceptible to the
just going back into your old habits, yeah, and thought processes.
Absolutely.
But
you remind yourself exactly like you said. You remind yourself that, wait a minute, those things that I'm, and this, and that is the biggest thing that I've got out of that, is that I've got this practice now of, I now catch myself when I'm wallowing in misery that, yeah, wait a minute, this is not what I should be spending,
yeah,
this limited time on earth doing. I should not be spending a single moment lamenting whatever loss that I have,
right,
or whatever want that I have.
Yeah.
I should just instead be pushing forward,
yeah,
and enjoying the beauty that is all around me.
It's like, over the past year or so, I've started to believe, just for my own sake, that, like, we live in a simulation. This has nothing to do with, like, any kind of stuff
proof
that we've talked
anything
about.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I just like to believe that we live in a simulation, because, and it goes along with the Secret and the Power of Positive Thinking, and like
it gives
all that
you
shit
purpose
where to, like, you can manifest your own happiness.
Yeah.
And if I believe that we live in a simulation, it helps me go, like, oh, if I want this, I can manifest it.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And I think that's a lot like your point of view, which is, oh, I shouldn't care about, like, these things that I can't control, or this job that I didn't get or whatever. Like, it's all, I think basically everything we're talking about, even when it goes back to, like, the spiritualism of previous societies, it all really goes back to, I don't think, well, whatever, I think it's the reason people go to therapy. It's the reason people meditate. It's like, if you keep yourself in a good mindset, then your life gets better.
Yeah.
Yes, it does.
Yeah.
Right.
But we all agree that that's 100% true.
But yeah. I think that
your life will not get better if you're wallowing in misery.
Yeah, and I think that's
and wallowing in misery is a choice that you make.
Exactly.
You didn't choose to get into the misery, but you choose to stay in it.
And so I think, like, when it comes to the pineal gland and Buddhism or ancient Egypt, all these fucking societies that you listed, like, I feel like it's a metaphor because I don't know that they knew that the pineal gland was there, right? Maybe the acorn is a coincidence. Maybe they did know. I don't know. But I think, like, at the end of the day, what we're all saying is, not to be fucking lame, but like, just be positive and appreciate what you have. I mean, it all comes down to don't sweat the small stuff, right? Like, yeah. Put that on your bumper and fucking...
and make sure you look at the back of your car every day.
Yeah.
And, you know, cream the crop.
And cream the crop. As long as you're creaming the crop. So let's wrap it up. Willie, I know you probably have a million more things to say, but
I'll try to keep it small. I mean, basically...
And remember, we're going to keep... Can you stick around for the bonus?
Yeah, can we just talk about positive thinking for the bonus?
Oh, yeah, like, yeah.
Of course.
Yeah, how
of course
it's transformative.
Sure. So, yeah. as usual, I will go
you
on...
You have to be a Patreon to hear that part, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's only $8 a month.
Well, five.
Oh, I pay $8.
If you want to be a friend of Charcon...
Eight's your binding.
We appreciate that.
Can we also... I have not heard the episode where you talk about Charcon... So maybe you can explain that to me in the bonus episode.
There's no...
I don't know what Charclon means.
That's just he's the secret.
I see.
It's just the best name made up.
By the way, have you seen The Secret?
Second for nothing.
Have you seen the documentary about The Secret? And I say documentary in italics and in quotes.
Yeah.
Wait, do you mean the one where they made the book a show?
Into a documentary.
Yeah.
And
I've seen it. It's horrible.
But the thing that I got out of it, because I didn't read the book, I get the biggest kick out of was someone saying how, anytime I'm looking for a parking space, I use The Secret, and one appears.
Well, the craziest thing
that goddamn it gets me every time.
Whenever that happens,
every time I'm parking with someone else, I always try and tell them, "Oh, I'm using The Secret. Oh, there's parking space."
When that part of the documentary happened, I was like, it's weird because that is how I treat it. I always say I only get front row parking, and I believe that, and it happens. But to hear it after that makes me go like, oh, fuck, I don't want to say this in front of people now.
Right.
Because I'm like, listen, I always get front row parking. I may go around the block a few times.
You know what? My explanation for that type of parking where you get to park right in front of the place you're going is that you're always running late, so you get there just a little after the hour, which is when people are leaving the thing because that's when their event ended.
Yeah
And that's when those spaces
so
open
the
up.
Secret coincides with scheduling.
Yes,
but yes,
The Secret is be late to everything.
Not my secret.
So
I hate people who are late.
Yeah, I mean,
do you?
I
have a sibling who's chronically late, and it's a pet peeve of mine too. And when I'm late to things, it upsets me. Like, God damn it, I'm fucking.
Oh yeah, I worked with a guy for years that I tried to carpool with. He lived two doors down from us for at least a year.
Yeah,
and he was late every day, and I was like, I can't carpool with you. I live two doors down from you. We're going to the same job.
Yeah,
but you don't respect the time frame, and I'm like. I freak out about it. I show up early so I can have cigarettes before I start and then walk into work ready and not needing a cigarette.
That's, you know, it's funny when I was talking about like wallowing in depression as being like a waste of your life. Like being late to stuff is also a waste of your life. God damn, it's such a waste of your life.
Let me also say though that wallowing in depression feels really good.
That's why people do it. It's because it's an ego thing. You're telling yourself that that what is happening to you emotionally is justified.
Is important.
You know what it's exactly.
And in fact, almost the entire reason why you're on Earth.
Here's what it's exactly like. When you wallow in your depression, which I've done, and I know how good it feels. Mm. It's exactly like getting athlete's foot. Athlete's foot Have you ever had it? It itches.
Yes, I have.
And it feels so fucking good to itch it.
I've had roommates my entire adult life.
Huh?
I've had roommates my entire adult life, so right. I've had it many times. Ah.
It feels so good to itch it, right?
All scratches feel better when
that
you itch
you
it.
That you almost wish that it doesn't go away because you love itching it. But then once it does go away, you lose the desire to itch it anymore, right? Like that whole thing about itching the itch, it just is gone.
That's crazy.
So like wallowing in your depression is that exact same way. It feels really good to do it, but if you change your life and you become a more positive person, then you don't have that desire to wallow in it anymore.
Yeah.
So that's the Wade tip for the week.
That's great. I love it. Interesting. It's crazy because, when I get that shit, I scratch so hard that I bleed, and I'm like, fuck, dude, these scabs don't feel good, but I love scratching.
Oh, God, the secret is talc. You got to talc your feet, keep them dry.
Oh, to prevent it, sure.
No, then, that it heals it.
No, there's a little tube right there of, what is that tube right there?
Is it the athlete's foot spray?
It's that tube of cream. Yeah. I haven't used it in years, but it's sitting there. No, that's lotion. Next to that. Little one laying down.
Yeah.
This thing fucking cures athlete's foot.
Lotrimin Ultra.
Oh, get yourself some Lotrimin. All right.
In typical fashion, my closing statements go off on a new direction that we didn't talk about. I had a friend at work tell me how he was awake during his dreams and he...
Lucid dreaming?
Yeah, lucid dreaming.
Mm. Are you sure you don't just want to do this on the bonus?
I'll get into the bonus. I will.
Let's just tease that out.
But basically...
Okay, do the tease version of it.
He was looking around himself and he was surrounded by people that were also in a dream but didn't know that they were dreaming, and so they were afraid, you know. And so the crazy thing that I take from his story is that, because I fully believe that our dream state is just as important to existence as our awake state, but throughout time we've been like, oh, you're just dreaming, you're asleep, that's not important, but that we actually are in a place while we're dreaming that is real, and because while we're dreaming there's no time, that like the dream state actually is more of our life than the awake state because time doesn't exist in the dream state. And so our dream state existence, we can interact with other people and we can either astral project or connect with people in such a way that like we are, like I said, that's just as important as the awake state. And most people will just, it's been, I don't want to say evolution, but through technology and
God, I just fundamentally disagree with all of this.
And Aaron's laughing really hard about that. He's going to the bathroom. But like to me, it's like there's the possibility that like if this were true, if this were real, it's easy to see how we can forget all this stuff and then like evolutionary go past this and then forget about dreaming because it doesn't require us to take part in this, but it is something that is important.
All right, can we end this episode?
Yeah, but I know we're going to get into this a little bit, but like, do you think that was all bullshit?
Yes, and I want to talk about it on the bonus.
Okay,
because I'm not going to talk about it now.
Okay,
because we're over already, and I have to pee. Aaron Alberstein, thank you so much for being here.
You got anything to plug?
Oh yeah, do you have anything to plug?
No, I.
You got a Twitter or anything you want some attention on?
I'm not on social media.
I know, dude. It's cool.
At all.
He's cool.
I've got all the accounts. I never check them.
My life is better since I quit like a year ago.
I think that's a good advice.
My parallel is I don't watch news. I don't watch TV.
I dipped back into Instagram for a second and then realized I don't like observing other people's life in this way.
The way that I use Twitter is I'll do a joke and then I put it on notifications, and I see how many people like it. I don't read anybody else's Twitters.
Yeah.
When I post a photo on Instagram, I don't look at the feed. I just get the notifications of how many people like it. So I get my little dumb serotonin doses. Uh-huh. But I don't. I'm not playing the game
that's
where
what
I'm
I
like on it all the time.
I check events on Facebook.
Yeah, I check the events, but I also feel like I'm out of the loop because I'm not on Facebook anymore. But whatever.
You know,
man,
you know
like,
how I find out about events now is that I keep in touch with my friends.
No, but that's no. I try that too,
and I message them and I keep up.
But
with
so
them
many people just assume that you saw it that they won't even bring it up.
I know.
So like, I'll be texting someone and they'll be like, "Are you coming tonight?" I'll be like, "Well, what's tonight?" And they'll be like, "You didn't see it? It's the fucking my birthday party."
You have to be aware that people want to be off social media at this point. You have to be aware of that. So if your friends, if they haven't responded, they may not know.
We're close to the end
know
of it.
I don't know how to
we're
do
close
it
to the end of it. This, we're
I
in
think
the,
so.
We're in the last days of so Disco.
Yeah,
for
sure. All right. Thanks for listening, everybody. Thank you, Aaron, for being here. We're going to continue the conversation on the bonus episode. If you want to listen, go to patreon.com/reallifesci-fi. Become a subscriber. Friend of Charquan is a made-up alien that he sometimes will introduce segments on the Patreon.
Oh, okay.
It's not a real thing by any means. Oh, also, René Descartes was a French philosopher in the 1500s. Yeah, that's the end, right?
Yeah.
What do I say? Just because you're paranoid doesn't mean they're not after you. Thanks for listening, everybody.